I'm pleased to be able to speak to you today about dreams and visions, and specifically what the Bible tells us about them. So I'm sure, I know I dream occasionally, and I'm sure all of you here do actually dream. But what does the Bible tell us about dreams? Well, this is one passage. This is from Joel chapter 2, and that's verse 28 there, but I'll read 28 and 29. I think it's from a slightly different version I'm going to read from the one there. And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. So the first thing we see here is that it is for everybody. God was going to pour out his spirit on all mankind, and everyone would dream dreams and have visions and prophesy. Young and old, rich and poor, doesn't matter whether you're working or learning, retired, or even very young children. God and Jesus said he wants the children to come to him. And I like to try and simplify stuff a lot. And you'll see later on I do simplify a few things. And I think that's good, because God wants us to come with a simple childlike faith. So what are dreams and visions? Well, at the beginning I said I dream, and I think we all do. I mean, sort of medics and scientists believe that on average everybody dreams probably about 2 hours a night. We don't all remember all of that. And in fact, there's probably very few people who do remember all of that. So what are dreams and visions? If we all dream 2 hours a night, it can't be 2 hours of messages that God is wanting to give us, can it? Well, if it is, we're very poor at listening. That's all I can say. But equally, I mean, the most recent dream I can remember having personally, I remember the dream because I woke up in the dream. And the reason why I woke up in the dream was because I fell on the floor out of bed. But the weird thing was that the bit I remember of my dream was that I was riding a bike, I brought it to stop, and I fell off. So how does my mind come up with that after I fall out of bed, trying to work out why I fall out of bed? I don't know. The answer is, we just don't know. I mean, there's lots of things going on in our mind. It may just be sort of normal human sort of things that are happening in our brains that sort of trying to sort of clear things out from the day before. But so most dreams are from our own thoughts and experiences. But the Bible clearly tells us that some dreams are from God. They're specific messages, either for us or for other people. So, as with all our thoughts, we have to be very careful, because, as I say, most of our thoughts are our own thoughts. So we need to be careful what we do with them and how we interpret them. And I'll just quick, slight sidetrack here, but I don't know whether it happens more to children rather than older people, but I know older people can have nightmares or bad dreams as well. So how do we cope with that? Well, as Christians, the easy answer is to just pray and say, God, take this evil spirit away. Lord, help me to sleep. But if any of you do suffer from bad dreams, then please speak to somebody else and ask them to pray with you, and God will help you through that time. So dreams and visions, not just dreams, recorded in the Bible, are examples of God communicating to his people. And there is a little bit of a distinction between dreams and visions. Dreams generally tend to be things that happen when we're asleep. Visions generally things when we're actually awake and we see something that isn't reality, but it is as clear as reality to some people when they see these visions. And dreams and visions are mentioned a similar sort of number of times in the Bible, each about 100 times. So you'll be pleased I'm not going to go into every single example of dreams and visions in the Bible. So here's some examples of people who have dreamt or dreams have been involved in the stories in the Bible. So the top left there, you've got the wise men. They were specifically warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod after visiting Jesus. They were told to go straight home and not go back to Herod. So that was a specific message for those specific people at that specific time, to tell them to do something to prevent something happening. And then you've got in the right hand side, you've got Jacob's ladder there, the dream of Jacob at Bethel, where in his dream he saw this stairway to heaven with angels coming up and down, which some people interpret as being God sending his messages continuously to and from the earth. And people today still see his messengers, see angels. I don't know whether anybody here has specifically seen an angel. I haven't, but no other people have. It may be a real angel, or it may just be a Christian brother or sister who's acted as an angel in your life, the same way that we heard last week. I think Aris said that Angeline had been like an angel to him. And then, I mean, also with Jacob's dream, as well as him seeing the stairway, he also got a specific message for him and for the Israelites and the future of the Israelites. So there was a specific message, prophecy, about the future for him. And then we've got a dream that was given to Nebuchadnezzar, but was actually interpreted by somebody else, by Daniel. And that was a specific message or prophecy about the future empires, and what was going to happen. And ultimately, it was going to end with a stone that was uncut by human hands that was going to come and crush all of these other empires. And that stone is Jesus, that was going to come and crush all the other empires. And then you've got, on the right-hand side, you've got Joseph. So the same way as Daniel. Daniel had dreams, some of which were with messages for himself, and he also interpreted dreams for other people. The same way with Joseph. Joseph had dreams himself that, when he was very young, he wasn't very sensitive in the way that he shared those dreams with other people, but they did come true. But he also was able to interpret dreams for other people. Both those people, characters, Joseph and Daniel, they both said, the only person, if it's a message from God, the only person who can give you the interpretation is God. They didn't rely on their own understanding. They said, but you can read for yourself in the passages in Genesis and also in the book of Daniel about what they actually said, but they said, to paraphrase them, the interpretation comes from God. And then in the bottom, in the middle there, you've got something slightly different there, because that's Moses, who saw God, well, heard him first from the burning bush, but then he also saw God. And I'll come on to that in a bit, because Moses was given direct instructions from God. We also have in the Bible lots of occasions when people have actually seen God or seen pictures of heaven. So this is just one example here from, this one's from Jeremiah, I think. Isaiah, this. So, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. But there's quite a few visions like that of what God is like and what heaven is like. Other examples are John in the book of Revelation, or Daniel when he saw the Son of Man. Also, Paul, when he saw Jesus, a vision, a vision of Jesus on the road to Damascus. And other examples of specific messages to specific individuals at the time were Mary and Joseph. They both had visitations from angels to give them specific messages and assurances. But coming back to Moses, sometimes, if you see something, as I say, visions are more things we see during the day when we're awake rather than dreams. But if you see something, is it reality or is it a vision? Well, in Moses' case, I'll come back to that in a minute. First of all, I'll just give you an example about what I mean. I apologise to you now. This is a recycled sermon I did about 3 weeks ago at our church back in Weardale. And then I was aiming it specifically, it was a child-friendly service, so I was aiming specifically at children, but I had an example to give them in terms of trying to show what the difference was between reality and vision. So in my pocket, which you'll have to imagine now, because I've given away the prop I had a football in my pocket. If I told you I've got a football in my pocket, nobody would believe me. You say, look, there's no room in my pocket for football. But what I did was I called out one of the young children to come out and I showed him a vision of what was in my pocket. I'd taken a photograph of it at home and had it on my phone. I showed him a vision. I said, what do you see? And he said, it's a football. And sometimes God will give us messages which to us we think we've seen it, but often we might query it. Have you really got a football in your pocket? That's impossible. But it's the same with messages from God. People query it and say that's not possible. But the next thing I did was I then pulled out this little football. It was only about that big, out of my pocket. It was a mini football, black and white. And I gave it to Joseph and said, look, you can take it home. It's real. And it's the same way now. If God appeared, Jesus came and walked in this room and we all saw him at the same time, it's unlikely to be all us have visions. It'll actually be real. And that's what happened various times in the Bible. So on the left there, you've got Jesus on the beach cooking breakfast for his disciples. Jesus, after his resurrection, he appeared to multiple people, multiple times. And that was reality. Some people will tell you, it was just a vision. Well, no, it wasn't. Lots of people were seeing him at the same time. It's a bit like me giving a football out. So, well, actually, this is real. People might still not believe you. If went out of here afterwards and said, oh, Andrew brought a big football in his pocket, they wouldn't believe you. But, and then this other picture on your right, that's a picture of the angels appearing to the shepherds. Again, it wasn't an angel or angels appearing to one shepherd. It was angels appearing to lots of shepherds. And they were all fearful and amazed at what they saw, and they all responded by going down to see Jesus. So that was a real event. The angels really appeared. So they're coming back to Moses. This is what God said to the Israelites at the time. It said, then the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud. He stood at the entrance to the tent and summoned Aaron and Miriam. When the two of them stepped forward, he said, listen to my words. When there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, reveal myself to them in visions. I speak to them in dreams. But this is not true of my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. With him I speak face to face, clearly and not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord. Even then, Moses wasn't allowed to look on the face of the Lord, but he did actually physically see the Lord. That's what we're told. So, and that's become more and more reality since we're in the last days after Jesus' resurrection, that more and more of us directly see the Lord rather than just through visions. So there are other examples of Jesus or God or angels just appearing to one individual. And the examples I've already given them, Joseph and Mary, when angels came. Some Christians today have seen angels. And some of us still have dreams that are specific messages from God. We might not realise it at the time, but over time we realise, yes, it was definitely a message from God. And I'm not giving away any confidences here, because not long after we arrived back in Cyprus this time, Carol was telling us about how sort of 30 odd years ago, before they came to Cyprus, she had a dream saying, you're going to Cyprus. At the time, their life was a bit of turmoil. But I know I'm not giving anyway confidences, because she preached on it a couple of months ago as well. So people today still have specific messages for your specific lives from God in dreams or visions. People will say, well, you can't add anything to the Bible. Well, that's true. We can't add anything to the Bible. But my understanding of it is things like the pictures of God in heaven and throne and all of the cherubs and seraphim and all the angelic hosts and visions of what the future will be like that we've got in Revelation, we can't really add to that, and God probably won't try and add to that, because he said there's nothing to add to the Bible. But for our own individual lives, we still need to hear specifically for our lives in the Bible. If I read anywhere in the Bible, I've read it a number of times, I've never found yet that it says, Andrew, you will marry Jeanette. Or Carol, you'll marry Mike. Or Carol, you're going to live in Cyprus. It doesn't say that, but we do need that confirmation sometimes in our lives. And it can be through visions or dreams. That there are other ways that God speaks to us as well, but dreams and visions. And specifically in Joel, we're told that in the last days we will all have dreams and visions. So God will use that way to speak to us. And Peter, after the day of Pentecost, when he was speaking to the crowds afterwards to explain what was happening, he quoted Joel and said the same thing, that in the last days everyone will have visions and dream and have prophecies. So prophetic vision is a specific type of vision. So there are messages sometimes that God wants to give us a specific message about something we should do or not do. Other times it's more about, well, what's going to happen in the future. It may be in our own individual life, it may be in the life of a church. But God gives us prophetic vision. Just to change track slightly now, because lots of people nowadays talk about dreams as in, what do you personally want to achieve? What's your life goal? What do you really want to do? Dream your dream and you can achieve it is what people are taught nowadays. But is that true? Well, yes and no. The important thing here is, are your dreams, the ones you're told to pursue and try to pursue, are they God-centered? Or are they me-centered? Is it just something that you want to achieve, I want to achieve, or is it within God's overall plan? So, yes, we can achieve our dreams, and we will achieve our dreams, but we need to be cautious. If we follow Jesus' example, for example, he said, Father, if you are willing. He also said, not everyone. Only the one who does the will of my Father. And he also taught us to pray, your will be done. So we need to follow the example of Jesus in our dreams. If you really want to grow up to be, I know we're all fairly old now, but we still could dream. I mean, Ian might dream that he wants to be Messi one day and play international football and be the world's best footballer. But even Ian, when he was four or five, having that dream, there's only one person in the world who could ever really achieve that dream, isn't there? I mean, the number of little boys that are told, yeah, chase your dream, you can all be like Messi. Well, that's not true. So we do need to be aware and be very cautious, because there are passages in the Bible we can just point to and pick on and say, well, that says we can have whatever we want. Well, they do. If you read into it and you study the rest of Scripture, you realise it isn't everything you want. It's if your dream aligns with God's dream, he has plans for you, plans to prosper you. So in Proverbs there, it says what the righteous desire will be granted. So what does it mean to be righteous? Well, it really means to align our thoughts and thinking with God's. Take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart, Psalm 37. So there are caveats there, but if you're not careful, you can pick that out and say, well, yeah, God said I can have this brand new car. You can't afford it, but God said I can have it, so I'll go out and take a higher purchase and risk it. That's not the way to live a God-centered life. That's not saying that one day God won't say to you, you need that car for my service, and don't worry about the money, you'll find it from somewhere. That does happen, but it needs to be God first. So we need to align our dreams with God's plans. I've said they're God's plans. We could say God's vision or God's dream, but that's not strictly true, because God knows what he has planned. What he has planned has already been established. It can't be shaken. It will happen. It has happened. It can never be undone. So that's why I've called it God's plan and not God's dream. And this is where I'm going to make things simple and take you through the whole Bible in about 20 seconds. So what's God's plan? Well, God's plan, he tells us in Genesis, God created and he saw all that he made and it was very good. And then, there's a bit more in Genesis. You can read in the first two chapters. You can go to Revelation at the end of the Bible. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth. There'll be no more death, no more mourning, crying or pain. So that's God's plan. He's planned a creation that is perfect. His plan was to move from the earth we're in now to a new heaven and a new earth, where it'll be even more perfect than the Garden of Eden was. If God had wanted us to be robots and every human being just to automatically follow his will and to do his will, he could have created us like that, but he didn't. He wanted us to have free choice and free will. He also knew that because of the devil, that would never happen easily. The only solution was to send Jesus into the world. So he started with a perfect Garden of Eden, and he will be creating a new heaven and earth for us to live in. The rest of the Bible is all about God's people living before Jesus came, but Jesus is declared throughout creation, and there's lots of prophecies in the Old Testament declaring Jesus, and then the New Testament's all about his people living with Jesus and then learning to live with the Holy Spirit after Jesus' resurrection. So God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And our response to God's plan, to simplify it again, even Jesus simplified it, there were so many rules and regulations. God gave Moses 10 commandments to write down, but somehow the Israelites managed to turn that into thousands of rules and regulations. So Jesus said, well, all you need to do is love the Lord your God with all your heart, love your neighbour as yourself. Jesus simplified it for us and for them. So God's plan for man, for us, is a heaven and earth, a place of beauty and an abundance of joy in the presence of God. That's his plan. So do our dreams align with that plan or not? If they align with that plan, then it's likely they'll come to pass. If they don't align with that plan, then they may do, because there are obviously people who don't live with that as their centre of their way of life, who seem to do very well in this world. So I'm not saying that your dreams won't come true, but they won't fully come true, because those people who are living without God ultimately will face that eternal judgment and realise they're living without God. So God's vision for us, going back to prophetic vision, how do we hear or see what God wants to tell us? Well, there are lots of, again, warnings we need to have here. If we think we've heard something or seen something, is it always the truth? The Bible tells us, so the same. There's a verse in Ecclesiastes 5 verse 3, it says, a busy schedule during the day can produce dreams at night. Or in Ecclesiastes 5 verse 7, it says, they can also rise out of our own vanity and lusts. So these dreams can convey information and portray events that don't reflect the truth, but rather represent our own vivid imaginations. So we have to be careful. And as I said earlier, if dreams, there are specific dreams that are from God for us, specific messages for us, then we need to make sure we get the interpretation from God. So how do we go about doing it? Well, again, to try and simplify it, it's more complicated than this. But essentially, we need to seek God. We need to put God first, seek the kingdom first, pray. Listen. Often in the scriptures, we read of God saying to his people, what do you see? Well, so we need to listen. What do you see? What do you hear? And then when we think we've heard or seen something, we need to check. Does it align with scripture? Does it align with God's overall plan? And we need to pray again. And above all else, it's very important that we also check it out with others we trust. So if you're in the church here, then check it out with Ian or with Carol or David. Check it with other people and ask them to pray for you as well. So does God speak today? Well, I've already said yes, he does. Possibly not necessarily about revelation, specifically about God or heaven, because there's enough in the Bible already for us. But our own individual lives or our church life, then yes, he does. And he needs to, because otherwise the Bible would be infinitely long, wouldn't it? We'd each have our own Bible of sort of several hundred volumes. So to finish then, as a challenge really, is what is God's vision for Community Church Hollis? Is God laying anything on your hearts as individuals that God is saying, this is my vision? It may be something about encouragement. It may be short term or it may be long term. Sometimes we just need a short term encouragement to say, yes, you're on the right path. Other times you need a longer term encouragement. God's given us a vision of something that's going to happen in the future, and we know God's in this because it's going to happen in the future. An example from the Bible, for a sort of short term vision, if you like, of was the disciples when they got into the boat on Galilee with Jesus. Jesus said, we're going to the other side. He went to sleep. He knew he was going to get to the other side. That was his plan. God's plan was to get to the other side safely. The disciples, who were all very experienced fishermen, got really afraid in the night because of the storm. They thought they were going to drown. And they said to Jesus, what are you doing sleeping? We're drowning here. And Jesus' response was, well, God's plan is we're going to get to the other side. Just tell the storm to stop. So if the disciples had realised at the time that God had given them that short-term encouragement to say, you're going to the other side, because I've said you're going to the other side, then there will be difficulties in between. And that's our life is like that. Sometimes we do, as a church, you might sometimes need that. Need to know that God, you are on God's path, you're on his plan. And you know what the end point is. There's difficulties you're going through, but you know you're going to get there because he's given you that encouragement. So continue to pray for wisdom and revelation. What do you see? What do you hear? And if you do think you've seen or heard anything, then speak to Carol or Ian, David when he's well again, and let them go to the Lord in prayer as well to check that what you've heard is really from God. So God speaks to us through visions and dreams. Amen.